Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:09 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Selvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. And Doug, the Cardinals are coming, tra-la, tra-la.
It just feels good. It just feels like this is the year that it's going to happen. Things are falling into place for the squad.
Nice take.
And I would expect him to go into Philadelphia and slap around the Quakers. And before you know it, this club will be it'll be a first division outfit.
Oh, I liked that take. I really did like that take because you incorporated Quakers.
The rights holder take is that this offense is really coming along. Back to you.
I do like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I follow certain accounts on Instagram that automatically put me in an odd place mentally. And the Cardinals account, it's, boy, you want to talk about spin, sugar. The focus is Stephen Piscotty's two home runs. I would just rather not tweet at that point or post whatever the hell you do on Instagram. But the Cardinals are now six games under 500 once again. Last time they were six games under 500, they made a few changes on the coaching staff. Johnny Peralta at the time was designated for assignment. And I wonder what they will do on an off day today, their last off day before the All-Star break.
I don't know what changes you make in the pitching staff when your starting pitchers can't get anybody out. No,
you don't know that.
I've been watching. I don't know what you do if your starters can't get through four innings or so.
I didn't get a chance to hear it because sometimes when you're on set, the producers and stuff want to talk to you while we're playing post game sound. But it seemed Lance had a little back and forth with some of the media that I wasn't able to.
The Calvin May of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Plowhawk's Laugh is brought to you by The Post Sports Bar and Grill. The Post, the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The Post, The Post, The Post, The Post, The Post. Design Air Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. They're the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Ben Fredrickson will be with us at 8:30, so we're locked and loaded. What were you saying, Doug? The cat, nurse, Nancy, Chasey, Lane?
Oh, Lance Lynn just wasn't saying
much. Do we have Lance sound? I'm just curious, because he did go... did you see it?
I saw bits of it. He was giving like one-word answers. Well, they hit home runs.
Delightful. He's a delight.
Well, the reporters didn't seem to think it was too delightful.
How'd it feel to pitch with a lead like that?
Nice.
Well, now that wasn't from yesterday.
Nice. Matter of opinion.
It could have been.
Exactly.
We didn't really have a lead.
Well, it wasn't from yesterday.
Well, an off day and then Quakers?
Yeah, the NL East, hand job, I call it, because the Cardinals beat up on the Braves, the Marlins, and the Phillies. Oh, well, maybe this team's turning it around.
That's
not a good baseball team. Hopefully they are selling within 4 weeks, and we can move on. Doug, there's my official position.
I don't know that I've ever seen baseballs carry more than what they were doing this weekend.
22 home runs, Jack?
It looked like every fly ball was going to be a home run. I'm convinced that the baseballs are just rock hard. It's like they're hitting golf balls. Guys are reaching for outside, low and away pitches and hitting them 415 feet. I don't know. I don't buy it.
You know, Camden Yards has been a home run hitter's mecca. I think over the last 5 years, it's the most prolific home run ballpark in baseball. But this year, and part of it is the Orioles haven't been as good power-wise, but it's 18th in Major League Baseball, which is kind of bizarre. But there were sure a lot of home runs hitting that series.
And it's happening all over baseball. Guys are hitting these tape-measure home runs, longest home runs in this stadium and that stadium. And the home run level is about where it was in the middle of the steroids era. And I'm sure it's not the players anymore. It's got to be the baseballs.
You're welcome to get involved in the radio program. The Appliance Discounter phone lines is how you can call in. 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Or you can text in on the very same number, 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK is how it is spelled. Doug, what was on your Father's Day itinerary yesterday, Jack?
Went out to eat, and then...
Where'd you go?
We went to Bar Louie in Kirkwood.
So. How did it treat you?
Yeah, well, very nice.
Very nice. About you, very nice.
Very nice. And then I hooked up with a little mistress known as Lady Journalism for the next 11 or 12 hours after that.
Mm. Were any gifts bestowed upon you, sir?
A few.
I'd like to know.
Just a couple nice things.
Like what?
Just a couple nice things. Nice pair of shoes.
What color?
And brown. And brown loafers.
Tassels?
I don't believe there's tassels on this pair. Mm, no.
Get a discount store.
Yeah.
The cat, what did you do? You had to host studio coverage of the Cardinals.
I did. And E and T came to the studio and they hung out for a while with the great Brad Thompson. We had some lunch. And then later they bestowed gifts upon me. And I'm not afraid to tell you what they got me. They're nice, the gifts. They got me a new grill.
Ooh,
oh,
nice.
Did they really?
Because grill we had during one of the storms, where the wind was blowing like nobody's business,
right.
It actually moved the grill from where it sits by the house down a hill where we heard it, and it's got the propane on it. We're waiting for the explosion, and it tumbled like head over heels down an embankment, and it was fine. It just was kind of rickety, but over the years, it's taken its toll, so we're getting a new one.
Huh?
You think if you had a grill with a propane tank on it and it tumbled down a hill, there was a chance for explosion?
I would doubt that it would explode in that situation.
I was fearful. But anyway, we're getting a new one, and I only got the picture of it because it's not been assembled yet.
Oh boy, that's hard. Have you ever tried to assemble a grill?
No, the store is going to do it.
Oh, good. Don't even try. It's hard.
Yeah, I know my limits. I'm not doing that. I would hire someone from.
CBC.
Public school, yeah.
Well, CBC, same thing. Doug, Brooks Koepka. Oh, yes, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. Now, that was a fella that I told you, we'll go back to the tapes, I told you this was the guy to look out for. I've liked his swing. I like the mental approach he takes to the game. And, you know, he won that event on the European Tour. And basically because of that, and because of his ability to handle the wind, windy courses, long windy courses, I knew, and I believe I said it, that Brooks Koepka was likely to walk away. And I was saying 15, 16 under, something like that. And I think he finished 16 under. So pretty much, I guess I called it.
Didn't you say now that he had a new girlfriend, too, he's a different player?
Right. And that was identified while the girlfriend was kissing him on the golf cart on the way off the course.
Correct.
That was a little awkward.
It's an awkward spot.
Yeah.
How did you do with your... investment and Koepka part of it.
I don't know if we had any Koepka teams because I only looked at the teams where we were cashing. On Saturday, I was over with PGA Pro Dan, and what a wonderful job he did for me at the Golf Galaxy in Fairview Heights. And I was looking at I wasn't even paying attention to our roster, well, one of the 150 rosters, but the one that was outstanding had Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed. Doug, was it Brandon Steele we had?
I think Steele's here. I think it was on your club. Yeah.
And yeah, well, I remember a couple others who were right there. But we had Rory McIlroy, who did not make the cut.
No, he sure didn't.
So I wasn't even really paying attention. I'm like, okay, we're going to lose, whatever, not a big deal. And then one of the dudes who invested, I think there were probably eight people who bought in, you know, to form the $5,000 LLC to buy 150 teams, Facebook instant messaged me, and as opposed to like asking for something, he actually gave me something, and that's like a 1 in 500 on the Facebook instant message. And he said, look at this, we are in 13th place. Well, 13th place out of 160,000 entries? What in the hell?
What?
And, we were in 13th place, which only paid $3,500, which I realize is a nice amount of money. But when you consider that first place pays $1 million, it shows how staggered it is. But, you know, that with every shot on the course, you move up and down. So by the end of the night, we were in 144th place. And
paid $3.
Didn't pay $3. The biggest cash of any of the teams was $150, and then we had a few $100 caches. But the total, we put in 5,000. We wound up getting approximately 2,800. So the LLC is minus 2,200.
Nice.
Which will make everybody happy because they like to sit on the sidelines as opposed to get in the arena.
Can I make a suggestion in the future when you have that sort of investment in return and you're a gambler that talks about on the... Just say, basically, it was a wash.
That's
don't
what you do.
Do the numbers. Mm-hmm. Don't do the
are
numbers.
Are you up or are you down? Oh, no, you're back.
About break even.
Okay.
Never admit when you had a loss.
No, but I was legitimate. Here's a couple fun. This actually is kind of a fun fact because I think when you look at the U.S. Open, for the casual golf fan, it was pretty bad. Actually, I would go further than that. It was really bad. Really, really bad. And there's no way to spin it. When you have 8 of the top 12 players in the world not make the cut, that's a problem for the game.
Mm.
While Brooks Koepka is a guy who hardcore golf fans are aware of, he's by no means a household name. And with the exception of Ricky Fowler, and I think to a lesser extent, Justin Thomas, but again, I don't think Justin Thomas crosses over to that casual fan.
Brian Harman?
And Brian Harman probably would fall into that same category.
What about the skinny Euro trash with the long hair?
Oh, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Tommy. Watch this, Doug.
He looked like
Tommy Fleetwood.
He looked like a former member of the Bay City Rollers. That's
you
what
just
I
call
thought.
Him Euro trash?
Sorry, that was my nationalistic instinct.
Wow. Good for you. You're a patriot,
yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
But either way, and then if you have any form of drama on Sunday, Koepka just pulls away and there's really nothing on the back nine, but here's what I was getting to. Of the 160,000 entries for that millionaire maker on DraftKings, only 1.8% of those entries had all six players. You draft six players, all six players make the cut. And that's because you had guys like Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, Jon Rahm. I'm sure I'm missing some other obvious ones. I mean, Spieth made the cut, but he was never a factor.
Adam Scott missed
Adam that. Scott, that's another one. There's a lot of, we had a lot of Adam Scott action. So
Ray Floyd missed the cut.
I didn't know he
out
teed it up.
Because he didn't make the cut.
I didn't know he teed it up.
Yeah, Julius Burrows was not there on the final day.
Turns out that Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson are very good friends. I didn't realize that. And Dustin Johnson called Brooks Koepka on Saturday night to try and inspire him. And Brooks Koepka said after his win yesterday that the conversation lasted a long time for them. And he said it was about 2 minutes. And, if there's a couple of guys who ought to do a podcast, it would be Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson.
Well,
there'd be a lot of meat on the bone.
I think they spend more time golfing than talking.
Well, Brooks Koepka actually doesn't enjoy the game of golf.
He doesn't?
No, he said, if I could do it all over again, I'd play baseball 100%, no doubt. To be honest, I'm not a big golf nerd. Golf's kind of boring, not much action. I come from a baseball family, and it's in my blood. And now, to localize the story, his great-uncle Doug, Dick Groat.
Oh, really?
And his gagger, Texan, to the show.
What?
Well, I don't think they're
Dick
related.
Groat's gagger.
Dick Groat was a terrific baseball player. I mean, really good.
You know, because I didn't want to talk about the Cardinals as a rights holder, we only talk about them when they're good. We got home from doing the show at Fox Midwest, and I was like, let's put on golf. And we watched golf because I was hoping this is the one time we're going to talk about it. Tim is invested in it. So I said, mm-hmm. I'm going to watch this.
Sure.
And it was a terrible finish. And all I could say is that Koepka, he made every putt. It was no drama to him.
Yeah,
he just was money. And then the only drama was I wanted to know about his new girlfriend and mm-hmm. what happened with the old
yeah,
one.
Yeah, here's the sound. A bit of an awkward spot for Joe Buck and Paul Azinger following the festivities.
Leading the field in greens and regulation. His girlfriend, Becky Edwards, All-American soccer player.
Joe, that's actually his new girlfriend. That's Jenna Sims. They were all staying together this week.
And I was like, what happened there?
On Wikipedia, it had his girlfriend as this All-American soccer player. That's probably where the information came from that Joe was reading from.
Well, he had been together with her for a while, as I read. And
now, the tough spot for Joe is that, it's not like he's digging. People hand him this information. He gets bad information. And then Paul Azinger's in a tough spot also because he knows, I guess Azinger may live. Koepka lives in Jupiter, and he does hang out, as I made reference to, with Dustin Johnson, and hopefully they do that podcast. It'd be really fun. But the Fowler lives in Jupiter, Patrick Wisdom, a Cardinal prospect, actually lives with him during spring training. And Fowler comes, as you may have seen. I know he's
boys.
Comes over to Cardinal spring training camp. Who else lives down there? I know somebody told me, who was it? Might have been friend of the show, Mike Wellington, that he was at like a Walmart at like 10:30 on Indian Town. And for those of you familiar with
it. I've been there.
The Walmart on Indian Town.
Yes,
it's a little north of Jupiter.
Uh-huh.
Just like it's like the next exit up for those of you who've been down to spring training. And he said Duffner and Ricky Fowler were dicking around in one of the aisles at 10:30 at night. He ran into
That's where they hang out.
So anyway, a bunch of them live down there. And so they know, you know, the little ins and outs. And so Azinger either knew that or because they all kind of live in that area and hang out, he knew as Joe was in the tough spot of the information he was handed. Azinger's in that spot of, do you correct or do you not?
And
it's a tough spot because she's on camera. You call it on cam. Is that what you call it?
On cam. Everyone's nervous when you're on cam.
And since I think it had been said a couple of times, there was the correction.
Yeah, well, they were in the cart together, and she was kind of hugging him, so they had to.
And they were up. I mean, you could see them, so you don't want this to linger that it's the wrong person.
I think they handled it about as well.
And it's not like when Koepka gets a new girlfriend, it's not like it's on the front page of the newspaper.
No,
so how do you update that information unless you actually
do it live.
Know them?
Yeah, you do it live like that.
But it was awkward because I was like, I didn't know who his girlfriend was or who she is now. And I was like, let me see what's going on here. There could be some dish.
Let me see what the word is.
He made $2.16 million for that win yesterday, so he probably looks more attractive to all the guys.
And then Brian Harmon, second place was 1.2.
Boy, that's nice.
But Brian Harmon, you know, I don't know. I don't know how closely people were even watching it at this point, but I think he was there 60 yards out on a par 5 18th in two, and he hit a shot that I think the vast majority of us would hit, where you pitch it, and I mean, it gets on the green, but he's still got, you know, I don't know how long that putt was, 60 feet to the hole, I don't know, and it just seemed like he kind of lost it. And that cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars because he wound up in a tie for second with Hideki Matsuyama, who had a great Sunday charge yesterday, shooting 66, which I think was the best round of the day. So disappointing. And as Azinger was saying, and I thought this was a good observation, also kind of an awkward conversation, unlike a guy like Koepka, who certainly has the potential to win more majors, and unlike a guy like, say, a Fowler or Justin Thomas, Harmon doesn't necessarily have, you know, the cash or most likely the potential of those names.
Cachet is what you meant to say.
Well, cachet is a separate thing. I'm talking about actual on-course potential. I mean, I tower over Brian Harmon. To kind of, you know, I mean, none of us have ever been there. It's a tough spot, but he kind of mentally seemed to have checked out on the 18th, and it cost him a few hundred thousand dollars. You know, he was just sitting in the fairway in two, and he wound up having to scramble from that point on I apologize.
If you finish, though, you get all that sponsorship money. Especially if you're a guy who hasn't been in that position, and even if it costs you a ton of money, you're still going to make a ton more money with sponsorships that were never there just by being one of the top finishers, right?
I don't think so.
No? Really?
I don't think so. I think if you're, you know, dueling and it's back and forth and there's a famous moment potentially, but I think in a week, if you ask, I mean, hell, you could ask plenty of people now who finished second in the U.S. Open, nobody's going to know, you know? But I don't think that.
I wouldn't, but I figure golf people would, you know?
I mean, this year people may remember who finished second in the Masters just because it went to a playoff, but most of the time I don't think people do.
Well, this might be the last time we see Koepka in a major if he finds golf boring and would rather be playing baseball. He may take his money and do something that he finds a little more entertaining at this point.
Guys, aren't you kind of burying the league? Didn't Azinger say the three of them had been staying together? That's the less popular MFF. I do feel like we buried the lead.
Well, I don't know that he was hinting at that.
They were all staying together this week.
I
think
that's actually Faxon talking.
Doug, is that Faxon or Azinger?
I don't.
Do you call him Fax or Zinger?
I don't. I thought Azinger was starting to look a little like Jim Carrey when they had him on cam.
Tim, do you like when par is protected more by the golf course and it builds for more drama, or do you like what more we saw this weekend? That's from the Kaskaskia River Monster.
I don't really understand that question.
Well, a lot of people like U.S. Opens because oftentimes a score like minus two is going to win the U.S. Open, whereas these were scores, as my good friend Bobby Magic texted me, that were more reminiscent of the John Deere Classic. You know, you had guys firing. I mean, Justin Thomas. I'm going to nerd out on a golf shot. By any chance, were any of you watching Thomas on 18 on Saturday? 299 yards out on a three-wood that he stuck within 6 feet.
Swung just as hard as he could possibly swing the club.
God, 299 yards, three-wood off the deck, of course.
And he'll say off the deck.
And he sticks off the grass, and he sticks it within 6 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that was unbelievable.
For his 63.
But it was very clear for a 63, 9-under. To eagle and a 680-yard hole.
Mm-hmm.
They're in two, within 6 feet of the cup, 680 yards. And Brandel Chamblee, who a lot of people love to hate, he's kind of the contrarian of the golf world. St. Louis guy. You know that, Doug? St. Louis guy?
No.
Born in St. Louis? Was saying they have to make these courses 8,000 yards if you want to get back to those kinds of scores for U.S. Opens. And then I saw Alan Shipnick, I think, who was on the coverage for Fox, say it's going to have to be 9,000. Really, if you want PGA players to be hitting driver and a mid iron, you know, otherwise it's going to be driver wedges. And if you want PGA players to have three shot par fives, that's what you're going to have to do. But there's only so much real estate. You know?
If they do that, then you're designing courses just for the premier players in the game.
Well, it's tees, you know.
But nonetheless, there's only so much room on these courses to keep backing up the tees.
There was a monastery there.
Yeah, you don't want to go right into the heart of the monastery proper. It doesn't bother me that these guys reach the greens at two. That doesn't ruin my
that course is protected by rain and wind, and with the exception of a handful of hours yesterday, early on. It didn't have it, and that's why it was playing softer. And Johnny Miller made sure to note that.
It wasn't terribly picturesque.
You didn't like the fescue?
No, I didn't find that very interesting to look at.
There was a little browning going on.
A little bit of tall fescue there, but, you know, that doesn't strike me as terribly interesting to watch a guy hack out of the tall grass. It just doesn't.
Doug, who is better, Brooks Koepka or LeBron James? Thank you. That's from TG, I'm sorry.
In golf, I think Koepka could take his measure. Now, Koepka doesn't like golf, apparently, so maybe he'll try basketball.
Jason Duffner said he didn't really like it either.
You would have to really like it for as much as they have to play and for as long and grueling and mentally stressful as the rounds are. If you just weren't obsessed with golf, I could see why it would wear you out in a hurry.
Rory McIlroy says he no longer plays for fun. Job.
I could understand that.
I'm going to say you're the Brooks Koepka of journalism because you hate it. You always complain about it, yet you're so good at it.
It's a calling.
Right.
It's a calling. It's a public service.
On your free time, do you do any anchoring?
I do. Yeah. When I'm not there, I'll sit like at the kitchen table.
Right, so you still do it for enjoyment.
Yeah. And anchor some news, weather, and
stuff. Yeah, really? Yeah. I didn't know you did that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Be fun. Design Air, 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Design Air Heating and Cooling, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience. So, Three Little Birds for Life, designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Pretty good read.
Yeah.
Incredible email of the day. Competition going on in the month of June. Misty Plops, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech, and Stephen Wildwood all have three wins this month. Madu Bowles at Hanks has two, and Mario in Chicago has one. So you sit here and you go, okay, you look at your calendar and you go, okay, where are we? You know, let's take a look at it. You have 10 more shows, and, you know, you got to figure Misty Plops historically wins approximately a floor of two email of the day prizes per 10. Now, on this recent run of wins in February, March, April, May. Misty Plops has won approximately 3.5 emails of the day contest per 10. Now, if Misty Plops wins 3.5 of the remaining 10, Doug, if you try to project it out,
yeah,
that would put Plops at 6.5. And that means there's six more email of the day competitions, and that means either Bill Pullman or Stephen Wildwood have to win four of those. And historically, Stephen Wildwood goes and runs. I've heard him compared to Ray Lankford. Very streaky. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech had a great first three weeks, okay, in the month of January, but then fell off and then left the door open. So here you need somebody to win four of 10 emails of the day for the remainder of June to end the Misty Plops streak. Otherwise, he is going to surpass the Rat and Bloomsdale's total from 2007. And that's the thing that we're keeping an eye on.
Misty Plops is just a win or two away from getting his own Hot Shots franchise, I believe.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, this show went on the air in 1947, but we didn't chart the email of the day trends
until 63,
when email was invented.
That's right.
By Al Gore.
Correct. That
so
is accurate.
Some of the information we have is misleading. Once Gore invented emails and the internet in 63.
Then the folks at Elias began tracking all this and keep better control of who's won.
They do nice
the work. History of the whole deal.
They do nice work.
Yeah. Boy, they do nice work, those people at Elias.
You know, I was always a Bobby with the perm guy.
Yeah.
He was a shorter-lived run, but he was like just a shooting star. He was
supernova.
He was a supernova, as I like to call it.
I saw a guy the other day at the Kirkwood golf tournament. He said, "Yeah, I used to text."
You were at that?
I went to Ryan Kelly texted me a couple times, asked me to come and spend a few minutes there, so I did.
And did you play? I played.
No,
I was there. Thanks for stopping by. I must not have called.
I was just at Ryan Kelly's little tent that he set up there.
And that was on number four.
It was. Yeah,
that's where we started. I think we may have won that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But here's the thing.
I mean, once your dad distributes the money, you might have won it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
He gets his paws on the scorecards. That's when things begin to
But
change.
Here's the thing. And let me ask you this. And I loved the event. And Ryan had us play. And God bless America. And of course, we love Ryan Kelly. I believe he's the title sponsor of the show. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is, Doug. Actually, I just confirmed it. I think it's 6 years worth of it. So we get done. And we're grinding out there. You know, we got to a point where we were 10 under par. Had like seven holes left. We're like, okay, we can make some magic. Joe Stats is firing all cylinders. I don't know if one of the people who was on the team would want to be identified, a higher profile person in the political world, and may not want to be associated with me, so I understand that. And then my buddy Matt Poling.
Bill Clinton?
It wasn't Bill Clinton. Jimmy Carter. Fine, I'll say it.
Okay.
How's Poling? Good golfer?
Yeah, we all contributed. We all contributed.
He's a nice guy.
So we get into a situation where there's some holes that you got to make birdie on, okay? You've got to birdie some of these holes, okay?
Especially elite players like yourself.
Right. Well, Joe Stats and the political person, Jimmy Carter, who I can't name. And Poling and I are probably, you know, seeding at 3 and 4 on this roster.
Was it Mitt Romney?
I already said it was Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter was there.
Just want to balance. I want to balance it out.
So we wind up finishing, and I also might have won the long drive. I don't know on that. Ed Travis, do you know who that is, Doug?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Good friend of Ed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So the political figure, Jimmy Carter.
Ed Travis is on your team?
No. He was in the group in front of us.
Oh.
And the political figure, I mean, you know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He shipped his drive dead center in what? I can't keep track of that. I know it wasn't the Merrimack at Tapawingo, because I know that they're still working on that from the flooding to get it back, which I hope they will have for the Free Dotem Open on July 7th. Spot's still available, by the way, Free Dotem Open. Get them on InsideSTL.com. So he ships his drive down the middle, and I think it was the Prairie course we were playing?
I think it was the Prairie course.
I don't know.
I think it was the Prairie. And it's the par 5 that runs along the road, the entry fee. Road. I don't know what the road it is. Either way.
Rot Road.
Nicely done. God bless you. Mm-hmm. So he ships it. And as it turns out, Ed Travis is in front of us. And we get up there, and I think they're hitting their second shot where Jimmy Carter's drive went. And Ed Travis, who I didn't know, turns around and says, "We were only about 2 feet away from owning your radio station because it almost
hit him."
Now, he was joking around.
Right.
Well, there were a couple things then said, but irrelevant. So we get done.
Seems like we missed something there.
Yeah, there's the good stuff. Yeah. I think we went past.
Right.
Someone took a swing at Jimmy Carter.
Now, he likes our show a lot.
Jimmy does.
No. Ed Travis.
Travis, okay.
Then he got into some thoughts on other things. And I just was kind of like, oh, you know, we're just focused on 7 to 10.
Hold on. There you go, Timmy.
So anyway.
Okay.
He opines. Wonderful. We get done. We par three that really should have been birdies. And we get done and we're 13 under par. We're thinking, ah, that might win, might not. I don't know what the caliber of the golfer is out there. 13. But then
you did your part, though.
Nah.
I mean,
Jimmy Carter and Joe Stats, definitely MVPs. Mm-hmm. But either way, we get done and then you get off the course. And then for $20, you can roll two dice. And then whatever the dice totals, you subtract that from your score.
Hmm. So this is a very competitive deal. Wow. Here.
So you could take 12 shots off your score.
Theoretically,
what you did didn't matter.
Our 13 under could have turned into 25 under par.
Sure.
Now, I believe we wound up rolling a grand total of four, a three and a one. That'll Snake hurt. Eyes to you, Russ.
That'll hurt.
And that got us down to 17 under. So if you just focus on the golf, I don't know if 13 would have won it. But considering that somebody could have shot two under and then rolled a 12 and then gotten ahead of us. You know, 14.
Seems fair.
But I was curious. I mean, in the whole scheme of things, a charity golf tournament, who cares?
That's
you're just
right.
out there to have a good time. And it was a really well-done tournament. And I tip my cap to everybody at, is it Pioneer Backers, something like that? Kirkwood Pioneers. So. It's for Pioneer Athletic, Kirkwood Athletics. Mm-hmm. And it was really well done. It was a great day.
Did you get a nice shirt out of it?
I did, actually. Yeah. I did. But my question is that does that go on at charity golf tournaments often? Or is that
rolling of the dice?
Yeah.
I had never heard of that
before. Okay, I didn't know.
Right, you can buy some mulligans.
Yes, that's standard.
Yeah.
That's I've only played in a couple.
Mulligans help them raise more money. You've spent like $20.
I'm sure the spin does, too, if you have to buy that.
Yeah, that was like $20.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I don't know, you know, but we'll do it.
That's a pretty big turn of a score, though, if you can take 12 shots off your game.
Can because I watched golf yesterday, so I'm sure that this is an obvious point, but what is the psychology of the guy who takes pride in yelling, get in the hole?
I have no idea, and I think that's a wonderful question, sir. I have no idea. At number six yesterday is probably where you heard it the most. That was the par three that was uphill. Doug had the false front, really hurt my guy Hideki Matsuyama. And there were like four frat bros that were just posted up right where the mic was. And they would scream belligerently, get in the hole right as the ball hit the club face.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I do wonder about that.
So to me, because I'm thinking about it, and they all sound the same because I've watched some golf over the years. It might be the same person who goes to every tournament.
Like Marlins, man?
The cadence is the same. Get in the hole!
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, that's the guy who makes you do the wave at ball games. I think it might be the same guy.
So
during baseball, he goes to ballparks and guilts him into doing the wave, and then he goes to golf and yells, get in the hole. Because you can hear the pride in his voice as he yells it.
Thought he was really clever. When you're drunk, you do things that you otherwise wouldn't do.
Like ass play?
No, not really what I was talking about. But
if you've had six or seven
beers on the course, that would seem like a really funny thing to be screaming every time someone hits a shot.
Have you ever been to a golf tournament?
Sure.
Have you ever yelled that?
No. I've never had six or eight beers sitting there on the course either. It's got to be what it is. You'd think at some point you'd think they would tell the guy to leave.
No, I think that in this guy's psychology, he believes, A, that makes him someone that he's the first to yell, get it in the hole. And I bet deep down he thinks he's helping the golfers.
I do. You know, I've never thought of this question, but I do enjoy analyzing the psychology. Will there be a lot of this at Belle Reve next year?
Yes.
There'll be some of it, sure.
I mean, if it can happen at the U.S. Open, I truly do wonder about it. Now, here's some more frat bros. Pawboy has the audio for you. Doug, take a listen. I don't know if you heard this yesterday.
Kicks hard to the right.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Now that I like.
That's great.
That I like.
Now we, as it turns out, not of course paid for by the show, but we had some of our listeners who were at number 18 yesterday. And they were going to do their damnedest to get a free Doderman. I understand there was one time where you could hear it, but it was kind of, it wasn't crystal clear like at the Ryder Cup where we really shine. Mm-hmm. And we'll see who goes over to France next year for us.
Because they were a little slow. You have to, right? You have to get that in quickly.
But there were definitely, like when Harmon had that long putt on 18, there was a golden opportunity there because it was just kind of quiet as he was, you know, just kind of playing out the string. But you got to be right there, and you got to be by the mic. And this guy posted on the fan page, he found the mic on 18, and he was prepared to try and
scream it out.
That's why I was listening so carefully. I was waiting to hear that.
That's a new one, though. Say hello to your mother for
me. Say hello to your mother for me.
Now, do they kick that guy off the course afterwards?
But getting the hole guy gets to stay?
Yeah, because getting the hole is like, no, I'm rooting on for my favorite golfer. I'm helping these guys. Say hello to your mother for me isn't helping. <the guy. laughs>
That's the best one I've heard.
It was so clear.
Now, the no laying up guys. Doug, do you know who the no laying up guys are?
No.
The no laying up guys, I guess, are at war with Barstool. You know the guys from Barstool?
Barstool Sports?
That's right.
The website?
That's right.
Okay.
And they got a great thing going.
Have they?
And I enjoy both of them quite a bit. But this is kind of like Radio Wars. I guess this, because I guess
ours is fake, though.
Right. That's my whole point. But I do remember, like, back when, you know, I was in my 20s, it's like, yeah, we want to beat them to the story. And now it's like, I don't care. I know it doesn't mean. Now I have the 17 years in the market, 18 years in the market to know that it really doesn't matter. Like, if it mattered money-wise, I'd care, but it doesn't matter, so who cares?
I had the Cecil changing number story first on Twitter.
And how much money did you get off
$10,000 bonus from Twitter.
Then I take it back.
Yeah, different story now.
But then you kind of realize what actually matters, and then you also realize, oh, I thought I broke the story, I happen to be wrong, and then you wear that for the rest of your life. So make the analytic on the upside versus the downside. But either way, the Barstool guys and the no laying up guys, I think they're in their 20s or early 30s, and they're kind of at war right now.
Uh-huh.
And so the no laying up guys said that they thought the say hello to your mother for me was one of those Barstool nerds doing that phrase yesterday. That's where they think it came from. I don't know that.
Did he scream
I just
it
saw
more than once?
I think Tron Carter yelled it, or Tron Carter said that the Barstool guys yelled it. Tron Carter.
Okay.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Now, did they say that often, or was that a one shot deal?
I was aware of it, people talking about it on Twitter, but I never heard it myself.
Now, why that?
The getting the whole thing at number six was just like, God, what in the hell? And I was thinking about it, but I've never thought about what the psychology of it, like what makes one do that?
I honestly think it's the same thing that makes someone do the wave. They take a certain amount of pride in supporting whoever is shooting their, you know.
But they're yelling it at every single ball.
They feel like they're helping the players.
I kind of like it, actually. I would enjoy it if more people were screaming. Sometimes you watch golf and it is like watching paint dry. And
Brooks Koepka.
And to have the fans liven it up a little bit, I'm all for that.
I would be all for fans being allowed to yell whatever they want whenever, like it was a sport like baseball. Even my kid said to me, Dad, how come in golf they have to be quiet? Baseball is just as hard, and they can yell the whole time. Right. And I said, I don't know.
I'd like to see people screaming their lungs out as a guy as he tries to make a 4-foot putt to win the tournament.
Right, if a guy is...
That would be fun.
If a guy's taking a free throw, you can pretty much do anything beyond the basket, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah, hold up pictures.
Iggy, why? And would you be in favor of a rule change to let the crowd...
Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle McGann, caddy, Iggy.
Well, it's because it's gone on forever. I mean...
Tradition. It's tradition.
I mean... You're used to it being quiet, and all of a sudden, if they change it after 100 years of playing golf, and all of a sudden, they're screaming, you know. And if they all scream at the same time, I think I said this Friday, if they all scream at the same time and it was something that happens all the time, it wouldn't bother them. But when you're used to it being really quiet, and all of a sudden, a camera click goes off in your backswing, you know, it affects you. But if you're screaming from, you know, I think Tim even said at the 16 at the in Phoenix.
Those Doug people, Waste Management.
Yeah, those people are screaming as you get to the tee. Right. So they're kind of used to it. And some of the players actually are saying, come on, get it up. You know.
What?
Better clip that off.
They're used to it. No, I'm not going to clip that off.
I would like to see at least one tournament where they're screaming and yelling the entire tournament at the players.
And that goes for tennis.
Maybe do that
too.
Down in Augusta. I think they'd like it at Augusta.
I don't think they're necessarily. Maybe we could do that like at Riverside. Down
tennis is even worse, right? Because while play has started, like in golf, you can yell once they hit the ball. In tennis, right, you have to be quiet for the entire point.
No, they, oh yeah, in tennis they ooh and ahs when people make nice shots. And
but it's, you know, but you're not, it's not cheering, it's reaction. Look at that forehand.
And this has nothing to do with it, but you know, you notice how the microphones are all over the course to pick up the crowd noise and the fake birds and things. The kid that said, say hello to your mother, I mean, he must have had the mic in his hand. That's how close these mics are. So if you scream during the whole tournament, you wouldn't be able to hear the broadcast.
That'd be okay. I'd like to see at least one. Give me just one tournament where the rules are different.
It's tradition. It's a tradition.
Yelling at each other.
I want to see some heckling.
I do too. I really do. I want to see people lined around the green, all of them yelling just as loud as they can at the players as they try to putt. Just one event a year, please. Some tournament that's struggling.
And you talk, talk about journalism. When I covered some golf when I was much younger, it is the big lie of journalism, because people write these stories about shots that they, especially back in the day, never saw. The golfers, because you can't cover the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a golfer comes in and then says, here's what I shot, and he tells about the shot. You just trust him.
Design Air is the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Design Air Heating and Cooling, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. They've been serving the St. Louis area since 1904. The number one train dealer in Missouri, Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owner-operators, and they really do care about their customers. It's Design Air. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling. Make sure to mention you listen to TMA, as Design Air is now donating a portion of all sales from our audience to Three Little Birds for Life. 314-739-1600, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.